Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kurt Olson.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Timothy Dougherty.
Present.
Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
James Banducci.
Here.
Carl Richco.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Jack Schreier.
Present.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Robert Wall.
This meeting was called in accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, which paper notice provided in accordance with the Highlands Council guidelines.
Next, we have approval of minutes.
Oh, the minutes, I wasn't pressed.
Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Councilmember Olson.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Dougherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Mangucci.
Stay.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Schreier.
Stay.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Next, we have the chairman's report. Briefly, I know we had discussed, and I tried to reach out to everybody. I got a hold of most of you the last few days. We were going to discuss some policy issues at this meeting. We decided to put it on hold so we can review it a little further detail before we got into that. So we decided to move ahead with this evening's agenda, which would have some planned performance issues on it. The executive director has a couple things she'll be handing out as well. That will help with some of the policy decisions, especially the solar aspect. Just so everybody knows, our October 13th meeting is staying as scheduled at 1 p.m. And we'll probably receive an email for confirmations or to confirm or to consider some alternatives to our November and December meetings, which we'll get out to you in the next couple of days.
You said the meeting is at 1?
One. That's how it was initially scheduled, 1 p.m. Too early.
I'd love to see that change.
I believe we're going to, one of the things we're looking at for our next year's schedule, and we're going to get that out to you via email as well, is try to push for the 4 p.m. start. I've heard from many of you that you prefer that, especially those that work during the day. And I think out of fairness to the public, who may have jobs, it gives them the flexibility to get here and participate as well with the later meeting. Anybody have any issues with that? 4 o'clock time frame?
Is that the 13th?
No, the 13th is 1. That's how it was previously set up.
That's the one.
That's going to stay at 1 o'clock.
I may not be able to make it. So anything controversial, make sure you put it on the agenda.
Miss your input, Kurt?
I doubt it.
Do we know our date for November yet?
You'll probably be receiving an email in the next day or two. Next up, I need to appoint an audit evaluation committee, which would solicit an auditor and the audit committee. At this point in time, I'd like to appoint to the audit evaluation committee Tracy Carluccio, Michael Dressler, and Michael Francis. You guys either volunteer or came close enough to volunteer for me to put your name on the list. And the audit committee would consist of Rob Walton, Kurt Olstead, and Tim Dougherty. And at this point in time, I'll turn it over to the executive director.
Thank you very much. In addition to the audit committee, just to advise, and I have discussed this with the chair, that Beth Gates from New Jersey Water Supply Authority will remain on as an advisor to that committee, because she advises the New Jersey Water Supply Authority as an employee, and her advice has always been very beneficial to us. So she will stay involved for this in that capacity. Also, I've been asked to look into information on solar energy and wind energy regulations pending at state level, all of that, those kind of issues. And so I will be sending out to the members information next week with links, because when I started looking into this, there's an awful lot of information out there. So, for example, the regulations being considered among by the pilots was 52 pages of it. So I didn't want to give you a tree's worth in an additional folder today. So instead, what I said I would do, and I've spoken to a couple of you, is to send you the information with links, and then you can read it. And at the time when the council decides to start discussing how we would advise municipalities and any decisions you want to make, you'll have that information. So I'll get that out to you. Now, as is customary, using the board here, we'll go through an update of where we are to date. Briefly on plan conformance, there are 65 petitions, 60 municipalities, 5 counties. 53 have been deemed administratively complete, and 28 municipal petitions, 2 counties, have been approved to date. 16 townships, 10 boroughs, 2 towns, and 2 counties. Pending petitions. For today's meeting, you have Sparta and Harston townships, both are conforming for the preservation area only. Should the council approve these petitions, you will have approved 30 of the 60, which is 50%, but that is actually 60% of those petitions that have been deemed complete. So we're making great progress. Upcoming petitions, so for the next meetings, you will be seeing townships of Lebanon, Bedminster, Parsippany, Troy Hills, and Washington Township in Warren, Ringwood Borough, and the town of Phillipsburg. So they should be coming up before the end of the year. So that gives you an idea of what's coming. A look back just quickly to see where we've got. So these will be very quick to show you. The green is the preservation area. The yellow are planning area who've given us petitions. The blue shows you when they've been approved, and the lighter blue here, and actually in here and up here, are when you have planning area plans that have been approved. So you see January 20th, February 17th, March 17th, May 19th, June 16th, August 3rd, and finally today. So that just shows you the progress. Again, the pale blue are those positions that have been approved in the planning area, and the darker shade for the preservation area. An update on where we are and the different steps in the process, because, and I won't go over this today as we go into the individual petitions, but it takes a lot of work on behalf of these municipalities to get to the stage where their petition is being considered by the council. And a lot of work has been done, and indeed some of these steps have even been done by municipalities that have submitted a petition. But very valuable planning work, whatever the outcome is for particular municipalities in terms of conformance. So modules 1 and 2, these are the Highlands Municipal Build-Out. They use a limiting factor analysis to examine land-based, so that's like a vacant land analysis, resource-based, looking at your natural resources, and utility-based capacities. So we look at the infrastructure, such as waste, we look at water supply, vacant land analysis, critical resources, to determine what the future build-out is of the town. We do look at that future build-out in terms of consistency with the regional master plan, so it really advises the municipality about what will happen through the conformance process. But even if the municipality determines not to move ahead with conformance, they have that vacant land analysis, for example. So it's very good planning information, and of course knowing what your capacity is with regard to infrastructure is critical. To date, 72 build-out reports have been completed for the AA municipalities. Module 3 is the housing element of fair share plan. It is a required element of conformance. We know now that we're in a sort of waiting period, and we'll be ready to advise and work with municipalities once we know what the future of those obligations are. But to date, 72 fair share plans have also been completed. Module 4 is the environmental resource inventory, and that describes and illustrates through mapping and through data information, Highlands resources, resource areas, and special protection areas. Recently, we've been working to revise Highlands ERIs to include updated data and mapping one of the commitments you made as a council from the get-go of this council was that you would compile the most up-to-date information for the entire region, and more importantly, perhaps, you would make sure that it was updated. So we've been continuing to do that. The new information is being provided at this moment to those 88 municipalities. I'll give you a little more information on that in a few moments. Module 5 is the pilots element for the municipal master plan. So what it does is, in addition to a master plan at a local level that embodies the goals of those municipalities, the Highlands element incorporates the regional master plan goals and objectives and provides the basis for the effectuation of the regional master plan. 62 Highlands elements have been submitted and updated data and exhibits are being provided to those municipalities. Module 6 is the Highlands Land Use Ordinance, which sets forth the regulatory provisions that protect the Highlands resources and again effectuate the policies, goals and objectives of the Regional Master Plan at the local level. 56 Highlands Land Use Ordinances have been submitted and again we're providing updated exhibits. Module 7 is the final step and it includes a resolution, a self-assessment report, a list of current planning documents and the Highlands Implementation Plan and Schedule. It is, in effect, the final petition for conformance. Of the 60 petitions we have received, 51 have been deemed complete. So, in other words, they've submitted all of the documents required and we're working with the nine to complete their work. I was talking a moment ago about the updated data, figures and exhibits that are essential to make sure that the municipal environmental resource inventory for the Highlands element and land use ordinance are based upon the most up-to-date information. So we've done major updates and this has been led by Roger Perrin in our GIS unit and his GIS staff along with the planning staff. For example, 2009 county parcels, updated parcels for ordnance mapping. The use of our LIDAR, which is light detection and ranging, topographic data, which is the best information you can have for slopes and for drainage areas, that kind of information. Also, the build-out information, so working with municipalities, we got updated information. We want to make sure all of this is reflected. One final example would be the soil survey geographic database. We got that for Warren County. So we have been updating all that information and it will be on our website before the end of this year with the metadata so that it's useful for all. In the development of this plan, we used 2002 land use land cover data. We've been updating our base layers using 2007 land use cover data. We want to show you some of the changes we've seen between those two dates. And in particular here, what we're looking at is from 1972 up to that 2007 date of the most up-to-date information. In terms of agriculture, the percent change has been a 33% loss of agricultural lands in the Highlands region. So that's that period, 72 to 2007. In terms of forest, 15% loss. In terms of wetlands, 21% loss. And then the other side of that is urban lands, 136% increase. By urban, we just mean it's just a classification of developed lands. But it shows you the changes in those years. This shows you that information in a different way, a more a visual way. So you see that the developed land or is again classified as urban. You see the growth from 1972 through to the year 2007 and the corresponding loss in agriculture, forest. We're sharing this information, this updated information now with the municipalities, sending it out. We're including in that a revised ERI, Environmental Resource Inventory text, so the data layers that correspond to the maps. With these new products, approved municipalities can begin the adoption process. When we realised we were going to take this on, we advised the municipalities that had approved petitions and asked them to defer action on their ERIs and master plan elements until we had sent out this updated information. We didn't want to put them through the process more often than necessary. A couple of municipalities had proceeded and others were waiting, but that information already started to go out about 2 weeks ago, so we're catching up. Petition documents will include the new map sets and revised documents, anything going out from now on. And the new GIS data will be available for download soon from our website. And our interactive mapping will all have to catch up with this. So we're anticipating that by the end of the year, our website will be fully updated with all of that information. It is an awful lot of data to go through for the staff here, but they've been doing an excellent job of it. Just showing you what has happened since you've approved petitions. Many of them, as I told you, have deferred action, waiting for that updated information. But just to show you that actions are occurring out there subsequent to approvals of petitions, and to let you know that our staff continues to work with those municipalities because some changes are made to documents we have to make sure that it's consistent with the regional master plan and whatever directives we have from you. So here's some examples. Bethlehem have done their planning area petition ordinance. Byram did their planning area petition ordinance, their Highlands ERI, and their wastewater management plan, which has now gone down to Sussex County, also approved it, is down for the DEP. Calicorn have done their Highlands ERI and their master plan Highlands element. Highbridge have done their planning area petition ordinance, master plan and the exam report, master plan Highlands element, Highlands ERI, and Highlands land use ordinance. Holland have done their master plan re-examination report and have in fact asked that Tom, Gordon and I are at their meeting next Tuesday evening when they consider their next actions in terms of conformance. LOPATCOM have done their Highlands ERI and was it Friday Monday night? Tom, Gordon and I went to Passaic County. They are the first county to have achieved plan conformance. And their petition was approved by you, and they've done their Highlands ERI and their master plan Highlands element, and they had their public hearing Monday night for their land development and land facilities regulations. So they're moving ahead, and they will be the first county, and they are certainly leading the charge. This is just a quick look at the grants, just to make sure you realise, of course, we monitor our grants program very closely. The range was from 50,000 to 100,000, which is what you approved. The average at the end there you'll see under Module 7, the subtotal is 59,933, so about 60,000 to date. We'll continue to monitor that program and provide updates. In terms of moving forward from plan performance approvals, grants that have been done with municipalities that have had their petitions approved, this includes the two towns for today, and it gives you an idea of the work ahead. Highlands Centre and Redevelopment Planning, 17 of those have been approved at the average amount of 15,000. Just a couple of other ones, Sustainable Economic Development Planning, Agricultural Retention Farm Preservation Planning, Coarse Water Use and Conservation Management Planning. So that's some of the examples of the kind of planning and the grant amounts that have been awarded to municipalities that have gone through the process of approval. That, Mr. Chair, brings us to the public hearing for Smart Attraction.
Thank you, Eileen. Next, we have the public hearing in consideration of resolution petition for plan performance submitted by Sparta Township, Sussex County.
Thank you, and I would like to let you know that David Trost, the Township Manager, is in the public today, here with us to watch this process and to comment if he so wishes. And we start off here with a look at Sparta Township, so we can get into talking about this municipality. As I stated, the petition is for the preservation area, consistent with the mandate of the Highlands Act. The municipality has a population of just under 20,000 and is about 39 square miles. The planning area is about 54% of the municipality, and the area of which they are conforming, the preservation area, comprises 11,488 acres, about 46% of the municipality. And just to give you an idea, about 76% of the municipality falls into what you term the protection zone. A little bit of a look at their background statistics shows you this is again using land use land coverage 2007 data, the subtotal of developed lands here is about one-third of the municipality. Remembering that included in that are agricultural lands, and the natural lands is about two-thirds. Here we'll have a quick look at the kind of municipality you are considering today with a virtual flyer. And what this does is it shows you the differences really between planning and preservation area and gives you an indication of the type of community you're looking at, the built environment, the agricultural lands, and the natural lands. So as we come in here, you're looking at the planning area lands. You see there Lake Mohawk, and you see the development that has occurred around the lake. As we go north, you see Foxhole Lake. Again, you see that there is quite a large area of residential development and development around the lakes. As we proceed, the darker shaded area is the preservation area for which the petition is before you today. And you will note the difference between the preservation and the planning area. Again, the planning area is there, easy to see through as it's covered with sort of yellow color. But as we turn into the preservation area, you can see there the darker area in the center. And as we come down, you'll see much more undisturbed natural lands. Here it is, forested lands. You're actually over the Sparta Wildlife Management Area. And there you have the Newton Reservoir. And you will see when we look at the land use ordinance maps that the vast majority of the preservation area is already protected. So if we go back there, you see the preservation area going back into C-Split there, preservation and planning area. These are the regulatory maps. We're going to show you some of these. This is a sort of a see-through one. Again, the clear area here is the area for which these maps, and because they're regulatory in nature, we want to really show you its petitions for these lands here, the preservation area lands. The dark color here is denoting the wildlife management areas, and you can see existing as well, a little clearer in this map. So you can see the preservation area lands as opposed to the planning area. This map is showing you your lakes, your streams, your wetlands, and your lake management areas. This next one shows you, and again, this is very important, you see in context with preserved lands, significant natural areas, critical wildlife areas, and vernal pools. Here you see infrastructure. This is where you have water supply. You will see that there are no sewage facilities in the preservation area that you're looking at position today. This is the map I told you again in the context of those critical areas, natural areas, and critical habitat. These are the preserved lands shown here in green. The other colours are actually showing you priority for preservation from our lists, which was a mandate of the Act. A quick look at where they are. They are consistent with the Regional Master Plan in terms of their petition. They have performed all of the steps that are required. The other issues that you sometimes see, such as centres and county development rights, are not applicable in this case. Public comment period was opened August 12, 2011, closed August 30th. Notice was given in the area newspapers as well as on our website. We did receive comments from Helen Heinrich on behalf of the New Jersey Farm Bureau and from Erica Van Orken on behalf of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. And a comment response document is available on the website. The staff recommendation on this petition is to approve and listing the usual major conditions, as you see here on this slide, adoption of the checklist ordinance, ERI, Highlands Land Element and Land Use Ordinance, and compliance with the Fair Housing Act, the Sustainable Economic Development Plan, which would be something that you're giving grant funding to for the future, an agricultural retention plan. In the case of these agricultural plans, Helen has commented on these, and we do them for the entire municipality. Whether or not a municipality is conforming just for the for one part of the municipality, we care, and the goal in the Highlands Act is for the entire region. So it does cover the entire municipality. A habitat conservation management plan, stream corridor protection restoration plan, and another element that, again, they ask for assistance on the grant funding, green building environmental sustainability element. That brings you to your consideration of the petition program.
Council members, any comments? Seeing none, at this point in time, I'll open it up to the public.
What's your motion, please?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. We get a motion on?
I'll move.
I'll second.
The motion is second. At this point in time, I'll open it up to the public. Anybody in the public wish to be heard on this application, please raise your hand.
Once again, this is David Trost, the township manager.
I think it's still left there. It's been a while. A lot of new faces, but still some that have been here a long time. It's been a long, winding road. I think there's a song about that. I want to thank you for considering us this afternoon. Sparta is committed to proper land development. We have recognized the need to comply with the law as far as the preservation area goes. You can see that we've done our best effort. I still had a phone call, in fact, 2 days ago from a major landowner in the preservation area still concerned about equity issues. So I ask you to continue to weigh that into all your decisions and your plan on how we can make some of these long-term landowners whole in some way. I don't know what the answer is with the way the budgets are today, but we cannot forget. Sparta has been meeting with the staff and your staff. We have a good working relationship. We do have a lot of fun together in a unique way, I think. We do have a concern where sometimes the preservation area goals and requirements spill into the planning area and have rather significant impacts on our planning. And we are working through some of those issues. I would just encourage you to understand that there is a need for, in order to preserve, we do need to develop some things. We need jobs in Sussex County. We need places to shop, places to go to school, places to live. And I think Sparta, through the years, have spent a tremendous amount of resources on preserving land, all of those lands that you see in that are preserved, were preserved in cooperation with Sparta Township. I'm excited to make this next step and continue the process to foster a continued relationship in making Sparta and the state of New Jersey a wonderful place to live and raise a family and to have jobs and have clean water. Right now we have a little bit too much water, but God has a way of balancing things out. Today we have too much, probably in 2 years we'll have too little. So thank you for your consideration.
Good evening. My name is Tom Collins. I'm an attorney for the Sparta Planning Board. I'm also a professional planner. I've represented the Sparta Planning Board since 1986. I think you're very familiar with the properties you've shown on your maps. And I reside there as well. And I would echo what Dave said, and I'd urge you to put your sort of planning hats on again as to the planning area, especially since, as part of Township's case and the next case of Partisan Township, we have previously asked and we continue to ask that the Highlands Council recognize that there are already existing developed properties in the planning area and approved developments in the planning area that should be categorized as yellow or existing community zone on your maps. So some of them are center areas, some of them are developed areas. You're now updating your database so that your mapping of data in some cases has been corrected to 2007 data. I don't find it that difficult to, in my mind, just adjust your existing community zone boundaries of the regional master plan to reflect the reality in the field of people's approvals or their built environments. And there are hundreds of acres in both of these townships that are already approved or built, which are not yet yellow on the map of the regional master plan. but ought to be. It's not really relevant today because the planning area is not what we're talking about today, but it helps you to see that these are the important areas for the other half of these municipalities that could be encouraged for development in the Highlands, as the Highlands Act envisioned, saying that the planning area is the area for encouragement of development. So we urge you to move right ahead with the next step of updating the regional master plan.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, yes, ma'am.
Hello, Helen Heinrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau. What I'm saying will also apply for the Hardston applications, since my comments were similar. We very much appreciate the attention that the staff and the towns are paying to the Ag Retention Plan, and hope that a module for how to develop that will be coming along. I understand that the Department of Ag is giving you a lot of information that could possibly make the module practically half done from the state plan. Also, we're very pleased that wording in connection to section 10.3 land use ordinance, which was pretty vague and seemed to imply that the towns had quite a bit of leeway in terms of changing their land use ordinance to deal with the definition of a farm and how to handle ag development. And that's now, I think, phrased in such a way as to call attention to how important it is to re-examine what they already have and perhaps make it conform to the right farm ordinance more carefully, and to give as many opportunities to the agriculture that's in the preservation area, which is what we're dealing with these two towns. And finally, I was really interested to see your slide about the implementation that is already going on. And I assume that that's under MLUL provisions, and there has to be public hearings and notices and so forth. But I do hope that, I would hope that you all would maybe check on the notices, because very often it's just a little postage stamp someplace in a newspaper that people don't read anymore. And as you know, our job is to try to prepare the landowners to participate in that process. So it looks like we've got behind already. So the notice is very important. And the notice for the RMP was so great that I wish you could continue to participatory. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Seeing none, we have a motion on the table. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Olstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Mangucci?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Schreier?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes.
When we get up there, I just have a photograph with David as our main chair. I'd like to recognize James Humphries, the Highlands Council staff. He actually is the planning liaison for both of the municipalities you're considering today. Thank you, James.
Let me move these out of the way. Chairman, present to you. Civic Association. Boy, it's just going on around that.
Ah, yeah, I'm a little lousy
about money. Oh, no, not in the answer. This is.
Thank you.
Next up, we have public hearing and consideration of resolution, petition for plan conformance submitted by the Hardisted Township, Sussex County. Ms. Swan.
Thank you. Once again, James Humphries is the planning liaison for this municipality as well. And we have Marianne Smith, the township manager, with us, and Tom Collins, planning board attorney and special counsel. I apologize for not introducing him, but I didn't realize he was doing double duty here today. We've seen Tom in other towns as well, so he's a very familiar face. But we're glad to have both of you with us today. Having a look at Hardiston, home of Hamburg Mountain Wildlife Mountain Terrier, you can see it here on the screen. And a neighbor, in fact, of Sparta. Hardiston has a population of about 8,300 people and is about 32 square miles. And you can see their picture of their municipal building. Planning area lands, in the case of Hardiston, about 40%, and similar to Sparta, they are positioning you today for their preservation area lands, which comprise about 60% of the municipality. In the case of Hardiston, about 70% of their municipality falls within your protection zone. And looking at the land use and land cover statistics here, you see a very different picture really to Sparta, in that only about 22% of their lands are considered developed, with a portion of that, 5.7, being their agricultural lands. Their natural lands comprise about 78% of the municipality. So to have a better look, once again using flyover technology, you'll see again the difference between preservation and planning area, but again you'll see the difference even between this municipality and their neighboring Sparta. So again, coming in over the planning area, you'll see again the developed nature of that in terms of, you know, small residential areas and some of the major routes that go across the region, and there's some open lands. You see where the municipal building is on this. Again, we're going to turn and follow the planning area lands, and then you'll go into the preservation area. You can see there the developed area there in the planning area. Moving into the preservation area, again, large areas of undisturbed forests. Again, Hamburg Wildlife Management Area and Sparta Mountain, Sparta Mountain Wildlife Management Area as well, Beaver Lake. But you can see again the stark difference between planning and preservation area. Not to say there aren't critical resources in the planning area, not to say there aren't developed areas in the preservation area. But this certainly gives you a good look at the type of municipality the Hardiston is. Okay. Again, looking at the land use ordinance maps, again you can see clearly shown here preservation area for which the petition is, and you can see your protected lands and a little bit of existing community and a little bit of conservation zone there. Here you see your lakes, ponds and your streams, your wetlands and your lake management areas. Here showing you your steep slopes, the darkest color showing you the most severely constrained steep slopes. This shows you your wellhead protection areas, your prime groundwater recharge, and your carbon and rock areas. This shows you infrastructure. Again, we're dealing with the preservation area. You can see very limited. You have public water supply here and down here, and you don't see sewer. This shows you your preserved lands. Again, similar to Sparta, the vast majority of the preservation area is preserved. These other colours show you, again, the conservation priority areas that you were required to do in the Highlands Act. Here is their petition requirements. They have met all and are consistent with the regional master plan. And again, there's nothing outside of these seven modules. Public comment. opened August 12th, closed August 30th. Notice was given as well as on our website. I remind people you can sign up for an agenda alert, or it's basically an alert system on our website, so that you get alerts when we have public hearings or anything. It's a good way of keeping the public informed. We did receive, again, comments from Helen Heinrich from the New Jersey Farm Bureau, and Erica Van Auken from the New Jersey Islands Coalition. The staff recommendation is to approve, again, this, with the major conditions which you see listed here. Some look again at the future planning here, water use and conservation management planning, which is a requirement for all conforming municipalities given our mission. Again, an agricultural retention plan, which, as I said, will be across the entire municipality, habitat conservation and management plan, stream corridor protection, and restoration plan. So that brings you to council deliberation on Hartsfield Township's petition for compliance.
Can I get a motion?
I'll move
it. Motion and second. Any council comments? Seeing none, at this point in time, we'll open it to the public. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on this application? Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon. My name is Mary Ann Smith. I'm the town manager of Hardiston Township. And brief comment, we just wanted to thank Eileen and her and Tom and their staff. I think we've been kind of involved in this right from the beginning. So saw through several executive directors and have really had, you know, good relationship with all of them, but we really appreciate Eileen and all she and her staff have done to help us get through this process. And we do feel that our goals are, complement your plan, particularly as it relates to having, planning area and preservation area. And we echo the comment that Dave had made just in that, we do feel it's important to be able to develop our planning area in a responsible and, efficient way and maintain that preservation area and cling to the goals that you've established as well. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Good afternoon or evening again. Tom Collins, and I'm an attorney and professional planner with the firm Vogel J. Collins and Snyder in Morristown, New Jersey. And I also have represented Hardiston with great pleasure for many years, not as back as far as Sparta, but into the 1990s. And I'm very familiar with the lands in Hardiston as well. And I'd echo what Dave and Mary Ann said to you, and thank you for your consideration of this approval. But again, the same point, in our planning area in Hardiston, we have what we consider to be a very significant village area. It involves the Crystal Springs Village Center and complex, the beautiful golf courses that are preserved and are in the planning area. We also have some other golf course properties in both the preservation area and the planning area. And we use a number of techniques that are a little different than your regional master plan to preserve open space, especially as a program developed by Aaron Gould called the mid zoning, which is basically kind of a cluster or averaging option. And the planning area is very important to Hardiston because it allows for the, as Mary Ann said, the planning for economic development in an appropriate fashion, in an appropriate location, as recognized by the Highlands Act itself. So similarly, we ask you to update your regional master plan to reflect existing community zones for the areas of Hardiston that are approved for development or are developed, because it is much greater than initially shown on the regional master plan. So it's important to us. It's not relevant particular today, but I think it helps you see that planning has to have two sides, preservation and planning for growth, especially in times of economic decline. And this is more important now than even 5 years ago. So we urge you to just keep doing that, updating with us, and to work with us to recognize our planning area. And this is really critical because the stuff that's in your regional master plan is used by the DEP to determine issues relating to sewer service areas and future plans in the planning area by other governmental agencies. indirectly related to you. So to the extent that the regional master plan can be updated to reflect the concerns of the municipality like Hardyston, it can eliminate intergovernmental disagreements, which are really not worth having. They're too costly to have, and they're not necessary because we have a plan for these planning areas. So we urge you to please take this in. Thank you.
So, anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this application?
My name is Erica Van Rocken from the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I just wanted to say that we support this petition. We do question why Hardyston did not apply for a center designation specifically for the Crystal Springs development. The village center at Crystal Springs is a community with some sustainable potential, and we think the township, in conjunction with the council and the developer, could have guided this development to ensure the protection of the Highlands region. If you've been up to Hardyston, I think maybe it could have used a guiding hand, and maybe in the future Hardyston will reconsider and conform the planning area. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to hear?
Wilma Fry, New Jersey High, New Jersey Conservation. I too kind of wish that Hardyston had applied for center designation and had taken advantage of the skills and abilities of the Highlands Council staff and to conform their planning area as well. And I think municipalities such as Byram had a very good experience. I think that having multiple eyes and planners looking at this would have been very helpful. I'm a little afraid that in some places that the golden goose that is the Highlands is being slowly overcome by residential and development that is not really my vision would be for the Highlands region, nor was it really the vision of the legislature that passed the act. So I really would hope that at some point that the municipality would consider opting in the planning area as well and taking advantage of the planning expertise that is here at the council. Thank you very much.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, we do have a motion on the table. And a second, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Bosaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Manducci?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Schreier?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Chairman Robbins?
Yes.
Next call. Next up, the consideration of resolution. Authority for Plan Conformance and Highlands Project Review. This is a voting matter with public comment. This has been delayed the last few meetings. This would extend the ability for Eileen and staff to continue. continue with the process that they have been going through. It's been extended month to month for the last couple by inaction. I think it's time to take action. There have been a couple of comments received by some members. I thought it would be worthwhile to hear what they were, especially for new members, so they can have an idea what to pay attention to if we do move forward with extending it for the next 6 months. So at this point in time, I'll entertain a motion.
Make that motion.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. At this point in time, we'll open it up for discussion.
I would just state...
Well, Mr. Alston.
To be consistent, I have felt for a long time that these delegations should be connected with a consent resolution that we would approve at each meeting. I think that we should have an accounting of the items that we specifically delegate to the executive director, and we should have the ability to review and approve them. We don't have that ability. Reporting to us it still takes away our authority, which was granted us by the legislation. I recognize that we have the right to delegate, but I think that we should be retaining the right to review and to make formal approval. And I think it's easily done with a consent resolution on a monthly basis. But I have failed to have the votes to carry such an idea forward for many years now.
I just wanted to say, I think there's a lot of work that's done by the staff day in and day out, and the executive director oversees that work. And I think, and you know, the council has functioned very well, trusting the oversight by the director of those items that don't rise to the level of really needing an actual hands-on involvement by the council members. And I think all of us in our various capacities do this either at our job or in the municipality or county, and understand that you have trust in those that you've delegated to be in charge of the management of the day-to-day decisions that come up as a matter of course. So I think that's one thing. The second thing I think that's very important is that we look at how this has worked. And I can say, as a council member, I have never once been surprised or displeased with these sorts of decisions that have been carried out by our executive director. So I continue to have trust in the process that we have in place, and I advise and encourage us to consider doing that in order to make the workload manageable, and so we can pay attention to the really important things we need to pay attention to, which is the implementation of the plan and the conformance process.
Sure.
I kind of agree with what Tracy was saying, but I also kind of agree with what Kurt was saying. I'm reminded of a famous comment by a former president. We do trust the staff, but we also like to verify. And I think it's important that the staff continue doing what it's doing, the way that it's doing it. But I think council members should. I'll call you back, Governor. Every council member should recognize that there is the opportunity to review all of those decisions. Eileen and the staff have been very forthcoming.
It's spelled O-F-F.
Red button.
You do have an opportunity to review all of those decisions and all of those proposals that are brought to the council's attention. It's not that we're being excluded at any time. Clearly, we get together as a group when we have meetings, but there are opportunities to contact the staff, contact Eileen, and to go over any of these issues at any time if there are any questions. And Eileen and the staff have always been very forthcoming about providing the information to the council members, at least in my 7 years and 9 months experience on this council. So I really don't have a problem with the way things are going now. I thank her for bringing this to our attention because I think it's useful, especially with something like this. But be not afraid. I think this is really something that the council can handle, absent the consent resolution idea that Kurt was proposing.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might, I believe it's our responsibility, management, if you will, to delegate, to follow up, to challenge, get feedback, and I, for one, have had no problems. I've only been on this council a little short of a year, I guess, but Eileen has fielded many questions mine, and I feel very comfortable in that whole attitude that I see not only amongst us council members, but with the staff as well. So I, for one, am going to vote for you.
We, I don't think any of us are here, are shy about challenging anything that happens that goes forward. Most of us have been municipal elected officials and are quick to see deviations. This is automatically reviewed every 6 months or before, it says. We can call this up any time if we do think that somebody's getting off track. There's a lot of work that has to be done. I don't think we want to be here 12 hours. Coming forward, I mean, I think we ought to come here. We ought to have this done. It's done well. And it's just going to continue to be done well. And I don't think we need to be getting into the micromanagement of the process.
I'm a great believer in the name from film. And so, from the people I talk to, like such as the ones that just left, I usually follow up and I'll make a couple phone calls. They're very happy with our staff. For a state agency, I can tell you that we're probably far and above, head and shoulders above any other one, as far as transparency, professionalism, feedback to the council. I've never had a question that I've had that I've gone unanswered, and with the amount of detail that I should be satisfied with. So I think we should just continue on until we reach a point I recall with you, but we're not satisfied with that. But I believe as long as we see the leadership exhibited by the director and the competency exhibited by the staff, including customer relations, that's real important that people have a very positive view of our staff and their professionalism and knowledge and competency. That's so important today that it gives us solidity. And even in questionable times, people will still validate the competency of our staff. They might not like some of the answers, but they'll readily admit that they're more than adequate. So with that said, I will support the
amendment.
Yeah, I'd just like to compliment Eileen on coming on board here the past couple of months. She certainly has been very, very helpful. Sometimes I struggle with these boards because I'm of the opinion we're all absentee bosses. I'm the director of facilities for the Phillipsburg School District. I, too, have to answer to a board. Answer to a board who each of them have their individual jobs during the day, and yet they're asked to make decisions on my future and the buildings in the Phillipsburg School District based on what I tell them. So it's tough sometimes to sit up here and really look at it. Again, we're asked to make decisions that will affect people's futures, the area's future. And then sitting on council in LOPAT for the last 14 years, I'm an absentee boss, and my staff is answering to me there. So it's, again, I think it's been very helpful. So I have to trust that we put the right person in place, and we'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Just quickly, as being one of the new members on the board, it's probably a benefit to not make that change as we get more educated, we get more into the act, and to understand it better, to evaluate the information that we get. But I can only tell you this, I mean, I picked up the phone today, I called the executive director myself, and he picked it right up. So communication is not an issue for me, and I think that's one of the things that I would make a decision on this early on. If I don't have access to the executive director and that staff, and to the chairman, then I have an issue. But right now, there's communication is very quick. If I have any questions, I can answer. It takes our responsibility to read the information, ask questions on the information as it was so stated, so on the walls of local news.
Is that the name, by the way?
No, that was my next question. Let's put the cupcake on the seat.
Secret admirer.
You must have a secret admirer again. What's going on?
Unless you find out, I wouldn't need it.
Jack, have Jack test it first.
Mary? Tim just got a patty, Mary.
Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to belabor the point. I agree with whatever you have said, and this is not new. My year and 9 months I've been on this council, we've had this discussion before, and members that have left said the same thing. And we have an excellent staff. I think, as Michael just said, if it ain't broke, we'll fix it. It's not broken.
Well, my only response to if it ain't broke, don't fix it, I think look no further than the federal government and our budget right now, and I question
there I would challenge everything they do.
Yes. But I like adhering to the law, and since the day I was appointed by then-Governor Grevy as one of the charter members, I've always brought in my law and the bylaws and our master plan. And correct me if I'm wrong, Counselor, but the powers, duties, and responsibilities that are assigned to the council in the Act, we then, through the creation of our bylaws, gave ourselves the authority to delegate it to the executive director. Is that correct?
Well, you did through this resolution at best.
Right. So, just to be clear, and this does not diminish all the accolades that the staff and the executive director received. I'm certainly, like Eileen. But the legislature didn't instruct us to have all these responsibilities but then give them to the executive director and the staff. The legislature said, these are the things that you are responsible for and you're to take action on. And they're listed here, A through Y, 25. And then we on our own decided to do it a little bit differently. And all I'm suggesting is that if the legislature didn't want us to have the direct decision-making, they wouldn't have spelled it out in the legislation. And that's why I oppose this. And that's why I wouldn't be opposed to it if we had a monthly consent resolution. And that's the basis for it. So I will oppose it again today.
I had some thoughts a couple months ago that I bounced off Eileen as well. I think Eileen does what she, within the policies and rules set for her. If there's any changes in those policies, et cetera, then those should be adhered to as well. But until there are changes, she seems to be adequately supplying the information to us. I also would like, to some degree, maybe at some point down the line, it can be discussed in this in 6 months or sooner, to have a bite at the apple, I guess. The Hackettstown situation, I think, was a scenario where if we had seen it prior to the adoption, those concerns could have been washed out before the vote. But I think those are things that we should pay attention to for the next several months. We'll address that. Anybody in the public wish to be heard on this?
Erica Van Alken, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. First, I'd just like to say that we echo Council Member Carluccio's sentiments. We generally support this resolution. We recognize that the executive director needs certain authority for the Highlands Council business to be conducted smoothly, but we are concerned about the executive director's authority to grant exemption number 11. We understand that this resolution is necessary to continue the work of the Highlands Council, but it is more important to have decisions on exemption 11 on the public record. And of course, this is not a personal reflection of you, Ms. Stan. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
My name is David Schoaf. I'm a landowner in the Highlands Preservation Area. I have several questions and comments on this. The second, whereas I submitted at the last meeting the language from Senator Smith and myself attempting to raise the issue of landowner compensation to where it belongs, at least superior to what you're doing here. And the sentiment was echoed by the attorney for the townships that were just here. I submitted it to you in the past, take another look at it. You may want to delay action on this because I have some other points as well. As far as the TDR Bank is concerned, which is the seventh whereas, when concerning the TDR Bank, it only states one of the options available to you, does not state the other. The other is to use the state TDR Bank also, and you may want to consider that because the TDR Bank, whatever the technical name is, and you share the same staff, I call it somewhat incestuous. You may want to get a different viewpoint on the TDR aspect of this. And other further resolve, you speak about the executive director. It's my word. The executive director shall not make any final agency actions. This is a loaded word. It also appears on the 13th, whereas a final agency action is the beginning point for potential lawsuits. I think we have 45 days from the time a state agency takes a final action to file a lawsuit. That being the case, anything that raises the potential of a lawsuit by a final agency action should be done by you in public, in a public meeting. It should not be done by the executive director or any other member of the staff. So you may want to look at that before you go any further. I'm raising it as a serious issue. And the other ones are basically repetitions of some of the issues I've raised. I'm going to submit written comments from myself and also Hal Danielson, who is not here today, but he's sending his comments. I'm asking you to table this until you have an adequate chance to review the issues raised by me and others. I concur with Kurt's opinion. You should not shirk your duties, particularly when final agency action, like I say, raises the potential for a lawsuit with a clock starting 45 days after that action, and you have to know about it to sue. So make it in public.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Deborah Post, Chester Township. Neither this council nor its executive director have the authority to issue Highlands exemptions. The Highlands Act provides for exemptions in the preservation area, and the Highlands Act provides the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection with sole authority over the preservation area. The New Jersey DEP issues Highlands applicability determinations, which include exemption determinations. I have such a exemption determination. This council is not involved in that process and has no statutory authority to insert itself in that process. Passing a resolution that delegates authority for exemption determination when this council itself has no such authority is overreach and unlawful. By removing itself from all decisions and determinations associated with the TDR program, including HDC allocations, this council is making it crystal clear of how little importance landowner just compensation is to it. Just funnel the troublesome landowners off to the staff. Just get the landowner's scum out of your sight and concern. Do I have this right? Ms. Carluccio did summarize it excellently when she noted that the council needs to focus on planning and what's important. Landowner compensation is not important to this council. We hear you loud and clear. This staff was described by the authority's transition department as wielding punitive and menacing tools. The landowners feel the impact of those tools and adamantly object to delegation of authority to that staff. The council members do not have the time, if the council members do not have the time or inclination to execute the duties with which the Highlands Act charges this council, then those council members should resign. Either do your job or quit.
Delegating your duties to those who seek to harm is not an option under the law.
Anybody else wish to be heard? Seeing none, any further council comments? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead?
No.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Mancucci?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Schreier?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Next up, we have public comments.
Good evening, everyone. Marty Purcell, New Jersey Department of Agriculture. Just a quick comment. It was really good to see the update in terms of how the towns that have been, you know, deemed to be in conformance are moving through the process. And I know there's a lot of work getting to that point, and the staff is fully immersed in plan conformance to this point, but I have always been kind of looking at that as phase one, where phase two kind of gets to the next piece, which is when they're actually putting together the plan, the documents that are required. So I was wondering if it would be possible to have just a brief presentation on how that will work in the future, like how we're going to look at phase two. Like just the question, for example, the ag retention plan, which I'm sure that we'll be involved in helping to develop the module, which we look forward to. Does that come back to the council? I mean, and what, is there any oversight from the council in terms of whether the town, in fact, implements that appropriately or not? So I just don't know how that part is going to work, and I didn't know if it was possible, and I request that at some point in the next few months, if it's possible to have the staff or Eileen report on how phase two will actually happen. Just a concern about, you know, the towns are out there, they're working, you know, grants and funding is being limited.
So I'll go like this, so I think.
Okay, so great. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to hear?
Erica Benalkin, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I just wanted to comment about some changes that I've noticed in the presentations, specifically that our comments aren't being posted the way that they used to be. A few months ago, you know, they were up there when I had submitted, and now I know that there's a document online that's available for people to see what public is submitting.
We also get them.
Oh, okay. Well, that kind of answers my question. I was operating on the assumption that, you know, and probably wrong, but that you know, this is the first time you guys might be hearing what's in the petition, so I won't be coming to the meetings, reading my comments, if you're already getting them. I just wanted to follow up on that. Thank you. And I guess overall, while I'm up here, I just wanted to speak to the overall thoroughness of the staff's presentations, the statistics, the flyovers. I personally find them very useful, and I know people that I work with are finding them useful. During the meetings, it helps to kind of bring us that summary, and then afterwards, it's nice to know that I can always go back to the Highlands Council website. All of the information is in that packet for that municipality. I hear a statistic online, I know right where to go find it, and I just find that very useful. And also, as a side note, I'm excited about the map updates. You know, working on the old map, sometimes I know I have to go to Google Maps or Bing, and I know that it'll be easier, again, if everything's in one spot. I don't know if you guys have to use the maps at all. I'm obviously doing this on the fly here. I'm kind of babbling, but I just wanted to let you know that there are some things I've noticed and some things that I'm very happy with and very excited to hear more about. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, can I just comment on that? I was very happy today to see the flyovers. For some reason, the last couple of meetings we didn't have the flyovers. I think it makes it very personal for the towns and gives us a chance to see the town in reality, see the waterways, see the forests, the lands, and I hope we continue having the flyovers.
Okay. Anybody else in the public with Peter?
Yes, sir. Based on that last comment, I'd like to invite all of you up to Sparta Township and see what we've done there, the growth that has occurred in a center that we fought very hard to get through the state planning process.
come and see our affordable housing constructed in a walkable community with sewer and water. That took many years. A new Stop and Shop that's about ready to open, probably one of the only construction projects in the county. We have great places to eat, some great places to stay, and a lot of fun to be had in our recreation areas, both owned by the township, the state, and the county.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Yes,
Chairman, Council, thanks for letting me speak here today. My name is Hank Klump. I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area in Tewksbury. The Highlands Act and the Highlands Council has been the subject of conversation around my dinner table many times. So when the Highlands Council met in August, two of my 9 grandchildren asked to go with me. They are only 23 and 16 years old, but sat in disbelief over the whole experience. They witnessed an elderly man who was justifiably disturbed over the frustrations the past 7 years have caused, having his land values, his life-saving investments stolen from him. He was also forced to listen to a council member making statements that were off base and totally debatable. And then he was taken out of the room by not one, but 4 brave policemen. When he tried to speak up, then, when I ran over my insulting 3-minute time limit, considering my laws, my grandson gave me his 3 minutes, which annoyed many on the council. However, my grandson, who is only 16 years old, was in disbelief when lobbyists were allowed to speak for 10 minutes without being interrupted. The meeting was actually stopped to allow them to speak. My grandson could not believe that before the meeting began, Assembly McCune and Senator Smith refused, when asked by a farmer, to stay and listen to public comments and concern. They had time for the rally that preceded in honor of the anniversary of the signing of the Highlands Act 7 years ago. They tried to ignore us, with Smith just saying there was no time, but McCune seemed to be deaf. That was so rude. And my grandchildren witnessed the ugly display. Was it possible that Smith and McCune were afraid they may be asked where the money is that they said would materialize for the Highlands step? On March 30th, 2004, they both said they were working to put together a dedicated and guaranteed source of funding so that the Highlands, which is making a sacrifice for the rest of the state, is properly compensated. They said, "We will show you the money." My grandson felt they were both cowards and unwilling to face us or anyone else who carries a sign or wears a shirt that says our property values have been stolen. And I've got another thing here on this. The other thing was the comments that the people submit before you people vote on this thing. They used to be on there so you could at least read them, but they're not anymore. The other thing is the comments here. I take the time to write these things out, and you know, they're not here. This is, it's not true. My full statement is not here. This is an excerpt, and it's to whom holds the pen that writes this. So something has to be done there.
Not sure what you're doing.
Okay, go to the last page on your document here. This one here.
You're talking about the minutes?
Yeah, they're not complete.
Well,
I submitted a three-page letter that was, I ran over on my 3 minutes, if you remember, and it's not here.
But
not
it,
here.
Is it our package?
Well, it's not mine. And what am I? Am I a second-rate citizen?
No, sir.
Yes.
This one?
All of the public the minutes, the speeches and the comments that we receive are part of the full public record. They are sent to the governor's office. They are part of your official packet. But we don't print up everything. The minutes of what you see written, we don't print up everything because of the cost, the paper, and everything else.
Well,
they are part of the official record. Every member has them, as you've seen, they're also very holding them.
Well, I just feel that it's a shame because I come here, you know what I mean, I spend the time to do this. It should be on every one of those things out there. For the last storm that went through, don't tell me how many trees came down. We got a lot of paper wood out there. So the other thing is, okay.
Chairman,
yes,
are the comments online after we approve them, are all, anything that the public says, are they then online or
yes,
not?
They are.
Right, but I can understand that they're not online prior to us approving the minutes, correct?
The other thing is here, I mean, to give you an idea on Hal Danielson's thing here, what's written in here isn't really what happened. I mean, part of it is true, but it's not all true. I mean, what's written, I mean, it's, you know, you people were here, you know what happened. But that's not what it says here. So, and I got committee meeting Smith on the March 30th thing, which is part of this year, to the young lady over here. And that's about it. The only other comment I had, and you people voted for it, all right, but I'm kind of an old school guy. And, you know, when my wife wants something, you know, she asks for it, you know, and naturally we apply and we give them whatever is feasible, you know. And what you people here, and you are dedicated by the legislation that Kurt had read, that it's like giving my wife an open checkbook, which I don't think any of us want to do. I mean, I love my wife, don't get me wrong. And I have no problems with Mrs. Swan. I think she's honest. But, you know, it's just different presentation on how things happen. So I'll submit this. And thanks very much for letting me. And I'm sorry if I ran over on my 3 minutes.
No problem.
Do you want that comment about your wife's checkbook?
Yeah, you better. Yes, sir. You put her in there.
Mr. Chairman, might I add that above and beyond everything, we have a full audio recording of every one of our meetings on the website, so you can hear everything that is being said. And I don't know of any other agency that does that.
Well, the only thing I can say is, I'm not an email guy, I'm not anything. I'm a handwrite it, tell me what it is, I'm an honest person, and I can read. So, I want to see it in the writing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope, and for the record, I just want to note that Mr. James seemed to be quite amused when Hank was describing Al Danielson's arrest. He was smiling away, and I noticed, as did others. Al Danielson is essentially on the verge of bankruptcy because of an investment he made in Highlands property that was shot out from under when the Highlands Act came about, as it did with others. OFP was another one. And what happened to him was really, quite frankly, criminal. By a state whose government is full of criminals. Some of them have been arrested and convicted, and others are still on the loose. I've taken notice of the people who have been arrested, convicted, and are in jail that were former state legislators and of both the Senate and the Assembly, and their voting record on the Highlands Act is 100%. They were 100% for it. So if you're looking for legislative intent, ask Sharp James, ask Wayne Bryant, ask Steele. There's any number. As a matter of fact, I noticed the co-sponsor of the bill with McKeon Mazo's remains under a criminal cloud yet to be resolved. New Jersey's become famous for this, and their ability to steal apparently knows no bounds. And your action on the last resolution, giving the executive director all kinds of power that she's not entitled to, your action on that I consider cavalier. There's no other word for it. You just totally ignored the possibilities of the issues that we raised being legitimate. As a matter of fact, you're passing this resolution after being advised that a final action of an agency, state agency, which I believe you just did, could be subject to a lawsuit with the clock starting today. And you didn't even bother to check it out with your counsel. It's the same old stuff. And I don't see any relief for the issues that we've raised for 7 years from the people who are sitting here today, with one exception. And I'll keep it at that one exception for the time being. Shame on you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Post, something brief since we're already up.
My name is Deborah Post. I own property in Chester Township, and I too would like to put on the record that Mr. James was laughing during Mr. Plunk's presentation. At the last council meeting, we were greeted by a dozen or so cops outside this building in almost as many cop cars. Indeed, there may have been more cops than Green Rallyers that day. The Highlands Militia had been called in, replete with guns and hostility. Had this council heard the message of the Arab Spring, that the people will rise when corrupt governments steal property and freedoms? Apparently, this council felt there was risk of violence. I suppose that my landowner colleagues, Dave, Hank, and his grandsons, and I should be flattered that we are so weird. $6 billion of property values were stolen by the Highlands Act. That $6 billion of private equity vaporized, equity largely of farmers and landowners whom society would not deem rich folks. $6 billion should buy the harmed landowners a tad of respect. And a heck of a lot more than 3 minutes. 2 meetings ago, I was obliged to suffer Mr. Vizioli's interrupting me and telling me, in essence, to shut up and get lost. At the last meeting, this council allowed the Chester cops to drag septuagenarian Danielson out of this room with excessive force, only 90 seconds after he had begun to speak when he had the floor. Mr. Danielson, financially ruined by the Highlands Act, had recently undergone heart surgery, and twisting the arms behind one's back by an aggressive officer is life-threatening. Yet not one member of this council spoke up, while cartoon bubbles floated above your heads, screaming, "Get the filthy landowners out of here. We don't care about them. We don't want to hear from them. Get the stupid old men out of our faces. Bring on the militia." And while the harmed landowners are insulted, arrested, interrupted, and generally treated like scum, the salaried environmental lobbyists have had revolving door access to Swan's office. We have watched them sashay in and out without even knocking for 6 years. These lobbyists are getting paid to be here. It's their job to come before you and to slander the landowners. Landowners who come here to request their just compensation have been financially raped. Yet they are cut off mid-sentence with a hammer and a sneer. Rape is a good analogy because throwing stones at the victim is what is done. I am disappointed, but not surprised. After all, this is corrupt and bankrupt New Jersey. It knows not how to govern with integrity or responsibility.
Anybody else in the public? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Just to make one comment, we did not ask for the police. No executive session. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.